background that I have, then I guess the truth is that we need to be free from our background and actually believe what God's called us to do instead of to do. Because if you realize who you are, you do and will be the byproduct of you. Any power will rock your very existence. Every place that you go will be completely overwhelmed by this power of God that dwells in you and flows through you, changing the world. So in that night when I got shot at, I drove away. I was so freaked out by that voice. I just kept on doing drugs and problems and drinking the pot all night long. It wouldn't go away. It was like mercy was tormenting me. The next morning, about 4 in the morning, I get home. My girlfriend was like, get out of my life. You're not calling me. Okay. At the time, I had incorporated Jesus in for a couple of months and had no clue who he was. 3 days later, I went to a place called Team Challenge. And I went there, and I want to encourage you that Team Challenge is what changes people. I was there for 2 months and I had a radical encounter with Jesus. Radical. The program's a year long. I was there for 2 months. And I had 3 dreams in my head. So I went home 10 months early against everybody's wish. But Jesus told me to go home. Now, if that's true, then the fruit on my tree will bear witness of what kind of tree I am. Because I won't have to scream what kind of tree I am. I'll just be a tree. Because the tree always bears witness of what kind of tree it is, by the fruit that it bears. It's illegal to say you're a tree. Jesus thought it was so illegal that when he passed the fig tree, from a distance it looked like a Christian. I'm not being mean. I'm just talking about Jesus. Did you ever go by, like, I'm in Florida. I can't say what kind of fruit you have. You got oranges. Did you ever go by an orange orchard and hear the trees screaming out, oranges? Argh! Probably not. They just bear witness of what kind of trees they are when they produce them, right? So God's well pleased that we bear much fruit. How about John the Baptist? He was talking to the Pharisees. Bear fruits worthy of repentance into the hearts of us. That's awesome because we didn't have that. I didn't come here to bring a heavy message, although it'll be heavy. But it'll lighten up a little, and then we'll go on that heavy track a little again. It's all right. There will be fruit that remains from it. So I went home, and on my way home, the guy that came and picked me up, his name's Dan, like, here in my heart. The man that I've gleaned from the most, the guy that looked the most like Jesus. You look like Jesus and people will want to hang with you. It might be contradicting to what they believe about God, but if you bear fruit like Jesus wore, they'll know it's God. And people will come to you and say, you know, nobody can do the things you do unless you do. Come on, man, but Jesus went about doing good. And healed all. So he did good and healed all. He's powerful, right? So he told me why I was going to make it and who I was. He never told me what was wrong when I fixed. And we have a habit in the church of telling people what's wrong, what they need to work on, instead of who they really are. It's really easy to point out the problem in someone's life to try to help them, because we want to help. I understand. Sincerely, we want people to get help. But going after their insides, trying to get them to look introspective and fix what's wrong, never works. But telling them who they are so that they see what's been made right, that's what fixes them. That only gets half the church clap. It's okay. Listen, man, this is crucial. Because you're looking at a guy that was a drug addict for his whole life, an atheist, a hater of Christians, one that practiced everything, one that grew up for a few years, about 5 and a half of my years. I was raised in the Masonic home. People hear that, they're like, Masons? Oh my gosh, and they get freaked out. They get more freaked out by the fact that I say Masons than they do when I tell them that Jesus is on the throne. That's dangerous. We're more overwhelmed by what could be wrong instead of what's been made right. That's not bad, that's good. We need to see that right there. Bad is seeing what's wrong. Good is seeing what's been made right. You guys all right? Okay, it's good. So when I got home, I went to my church, and they were having work day, and I had been at that church for 5 and a half months before this time. And when I went there, someone had put me in there, paid the money for me to go to the challenge, and it looked like I'd quit. So when I got back to the church, boy, they hammered. But what was so awesome was that I was so free from me that I was free from them. I mean, like, I didn't get an attitude to say, well, you don't know, and you this, and you that. I just was like, no, it's for real. They were like, no, it's not. Who do you think you are? And I'd be like, I'm my son. And I wasn't saying that to be arrogant or to tell them that they're wrong. You know that you can be right, very wrong about being right, and display your rightness instead of righteousness, and claim your rights, and all of a sudden you'll think that they'll get what they deserve, and if you want what you deserve, go to hell. It's not about rights, it's about righteousness. It's about who's been made right with God. It's powerful. So when they hammered me, I told them, oh, yeah, I suppose you're just going to go home with your girlfriend. I can't see what I'm doing. My heart got changed. A revelation of the finished work of the blood of Jesus hit my heart in such a way to where my conscience got. See, I believe that this is a lost art. I believe that the practicing of a clean conscience is a lost art. And pretty much, we allow one thing, another thing, another thing, before you know it, we can do it. And I'll end on the call, Chris. There's a difference between holiness that God calls holiness and what we've tried to do. Holiness has to come from the amazing love of God and the reality of the joy and gladness of who our Father is and who He says we are, so that we are so linked up with who He is that it's the big yes to God, which is the no to everything else. Because our yes becomes the one thing that we're so in love with, and all of a sudden, all this other stuff begins to whisper our name. It just gets less and less and less because it's a stranger's voice, and we know His voice. So when we know His voice, self-control is being so focused on His voice that everything else is His voice. It's called love. It's joyful. Amazing holiness. Oh, it's extravagant love for my kids. Like, it's like this. Why would I do that when I didn't have kids? Why would I mess with that now that I have this? I believe it's what God's saying in the church. I believe it's what God's restoring us to. See, if the miraculous and healing and prophetic and all that stuff come out of what I'm talking about right here, all of a sudden we finish well. See, it's all about finishing life. It's all about living your whole life in such a way to where, see, I talked about it a little bit today. It's about the kingdom and righteousness. It's about the king's dominion, the dominion of the king, the lordship of Jesus, the reality of the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom is in the Holy Ghost. But when I say kingdom, you think authority. When I say righteousness, we think, I don't know. Righteousness is my right standing, my legal standing before the Father. Righteousness is what enables me to have my senses trained to discern between both good and evil. Righteousness is what God said in the Old Testament that they could have if they performed together. Righteousness is what Jesus performed so that we can step into it and receive it as a free gift. If I've got right standing with my Father and I have two commandments to live by, love my God with everything I am and love my neighbor as myself, that's pretty easy. Well, no, it's not. It's not easy because love is hard. No, love not hard. Anger is hard. Unforgiveness is hard. Attitude is hard. Love is easy. You were created to love. You were created to be so wrecked by the reality of who God is that you'd be so wiped out that people would see the reality of who you are and you'd look just like Him. Come on, man. I'm just preaching the truth. It's really the truth. So after they hammered me at church and told me how I was never going to be any, never make it, and I quit and all this stuff, I'm so okay. I went and I said, can I help you guys? Because it was church work. And I said, can I help? No, we don't need your help. Why don't you just go home? You know, and you think, well, they just don't get it. No, that's wrong. That's attitude. That's pride. Stop it. That's not the gospel. You know what the gospel does? The gospel says, okay, go bless you. And the gospel grabs a broom when no one's looking. He goes around the front and does it anyway when no one's looking. Why? Because I'm not looking for a thank you. This is called Jesus. Jesus doesn't need you to thank Him for him to feel okay about what He did for you. If you're at your job and you're working, and your boss is looking for you to do something because you need a raise, you need to look better than other people, that's great. You've received your reward. If you get a raise, that's great. But if you don't, you'll never do it again. Because you didn't get a thank you, you didn't get rewarded. But if you see that you're called to, when no one's looking, you'll sweep. Why? Because it's God that opens the doors. It's God that gives the increase. You can either live by the other system or the real one. The other one's crashing hard. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, this is really good. So solid. And I'm not just telling you this because I found it in my Bible. I'm telling you this because I live it. I wouldn't dare share anything with you that I'm not living, doing, walking out. That would be twisted. The devil would hammer me. Don't you ever preach something you're not walking out. Boy, that would be tragedy. You all right? This is good stuff. It's like a Holy Ghost defibrillator, man. It's like He's my Father. He loves me. You know, if I went and told you that I love you, if you didn't say it back, I would be okay. Because I don't say I love you until you say I love you. That's selfish love. It really is. Here's something else that's selfish. There's a lot of people that are praying for their spouse to find Jesus so that their life is better. God, touch my wife so that my life is better. That's selfish Christmas. You pray for your wife so that she sees who she is. Not for you. So that she sees she's a daughter. Come on, man. That's just good. It's really good. Well, I know that. My wife's watching right now. That's how I prayed for her. Okay, so so I went and swept. No one said thank you. And I was like, man, God, I am the thank you. I can live a thank you life. When people don't deserve it, I can bless them. But they don't deserve it because I'm the thank you. Thank you for what? Just because He loves you. What? No, He doesn't. He sure does. Stop telling me that. Okay, I'll just live it. I'm telling you the truth. It's awesome. Do you know what I did? I went home because I needed to talk to my daughter, not my girlfriend. That's another story. But I needed to talk to my daughter. I needed to tell her that I'm sorry because I wasn't there 7.5 years of her life. All she heard was, I hate your father, a loser, a liar, drug addict. All she did was stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning with mom till I came home after my crack in. That's all she knew her whole life with me. That's it. I It was all I knew. I didn't know any different. That's it. It's all about me, man. For those 9 years I was with my girl, 30 jobs. Split her apart from everyone. Never held a job. She held the same job. And all I did was steal her money. And I threatened to kill her if she ever left me. She was more worried about me than suicide. Because I just wanted to be done with my life. I was a wreck. So when I came home that day, I came home to say I was sorry to my daughter. And she came out and she goes, Daddy, what are you talking about? I said, I'm sorry. She said, Daddy, for what? I said, for all the time. She said, Daddy, stop. I'm glad you're home. I'm like, no, I'm not home. You have to understand. See, my heart was in such a place of conviction that I couldn't live there. I wasn't about to violate what I've never seen clean. My conscience was clean for the first time, and I've never had one. I'll never ever have one. And I was so excited about my conscience being clean that I wasn't about to step into something that violated it. It was such a trembling in my heart because my girlfriend came out of the house and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just here to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know you are. Gave myself to Jesus for you. And I was so overwhelmed. Listen to this, God. This is not a fairy tale. It's the gospel. It's what redemption looks like in a family. So now she gave herself to Christ, and so now I'm faced with another situation. I love her. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, I cannot live here. Because what I could have done is just, it's okay. Hey, cool. No, that would have violated this again. We need to be married. So we got married 4 days later. That's awesome. So good. So good. She's watching. Everybody say hi, Jackie. So now my oldest daughter is 16. From the day I came back, God supernaturally erased her memory. From all the drug addiction. See, we've gone after memories to try to fix them and not allow the blood of Jesus to do what it's called to do. You say. We've gone after them to try to fix them. Your memory is not your issue. A lack of a revelation in the righteousness of God and the reality of a new creation reality is the problem. You see who God's created you to be, old things literally pass away. All things become new. That is amazing. So my daughter, that day when I came home and told her I'm sorry, it was already gone in memory. Grace empowered what I prayed for. I prayed for God to erase her memory because I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. When we got married, it was the most beautiful. Everybody was like, oh, I don't know about this. That was 8.5 years. And guess what? 8.5 years old in Jesus. I've never been to school. I have a mentor. His name's Holy Spirit. I have an amazing father. His name's God. He's my father. My mentor's Holy Spirit. I'm not a lone ranger. I have people around me constantly. But I don't believe that they have to keep me accountable. Because I believe the Holy Spirit's my accountability partner. That doesn't mean that I don't have people that can speak into my life. Man, hey, if anybody needs an issue, bring it. I got it. I'm with that. I'm told I will take the slap of the bread. But we've elevated the reality of an accountability partner more than we have intimacy with God. And I'm not being mean, and I'm not against people that have partners. I'm against you elevating your accountability partner above the one that can keep you accountable. It's called a lovesick bride. It's one that's so loving God. Don't let another stuff grab your attention because he has your total attention. Guys, the Bible's really clear. Says that we have to be renewed in our mind. It says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It says to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can approve what God's will is. Right before that, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable, pleasing service to the Father. So that when you come in, you give yourself completely and fully. You say, God, here I am, your son, your daughter. I'm asking you, God, to wash me completely clean by blood. It's not just an outward cleansing, it's an inward washing. See, the reality of an outward cleansing would be Old Testament law. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he went behind the veil and he would offer blood for people's sins committed in ignorance. But when he left there, it says in Hebrews 9 that he left there still condemned. Because the way into the Holy of Holies was not yet made there, because it was symbolic for the way that was to come. When Jesus came, he entered into the Holy. He sits at the right hand of God. And when he said it was finished, all the handwriting, all the requirements, all the stuff that was against you was wiped out. It says, if the powers and principalities would have known what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it, but they did. I bet there's a huge cover-up scandal to try to cover up what Jesus did. I bet there could be a press just to get into ministry so we could find our place in the world instead of being sons and daughters. And just realizing that we're a son and a daughter of being okay and comfortable in our own skin. We've got to be comfortable with us. Jesus is. When we say yes to Him, He washes us clean. Well, I don't feel washed. Good! You're not supposed to live by feelings. It says to just live by faith, not feelings. It's powerful. See, people come to hear me, come to see me, and they see the miracles, they see the videos, they're like, wow, I want to do that. We need to be this before we do that. Well, we need to do that while we be this. Well, what good is it for you to heal the sick and go away condemned? What good is it for you to prophesy and be condemned in your heart? That's demonic. That's not God. It's not okay to be condemned. It's not, because you can do all the stuff. And see, the problem is that God will flow through you regardless of where your heart's at, but your heart has to be good. But we've reacted on the other side and become so prayer-focused sometimes and so intimacy-focused that we haven't let Him out. We have to have the equal of both. Listen, if you're prayer-focused, you're not grieving the Spirit. But if you're not power-focused, you're quenching the Spirit. Which is more important, to not grieve or not quench? They're both of equal importance. You're not supposed to grieve or quench. You are supposed to be released in the fullness of who God's created you to be. And understanding righteousness and living in a place of non-condemnation, because there's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We leave that one off. Therefore, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, brother. Amen. We forget the other part. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When you realize who God's created you to be, you will walk and live after the Spirit. You will live in a place of no condemnation, because righteousness is the only thing that crushes condemnation. Condemnation is because you wish you never did it. Regret produces death. But godly sorrow produces repentance. Repentance is amazing. But regret, man, I wish I never did that. Okay, great, get over it, run. You have to see who God's created you to be, or you'll live in that place of wishing that you never did it. Listen, condemnation, listen, I'm hearing this in my heart, so I'm just going to preach it. Condemnation will stop you from being able to sleep at night. Condemnation will put you into a place of worry and fear, and fear is from hell. Worry is from hell. Worry is from hell. Matthew 6 talks about it. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. Matthew 6:22. It's amazing, because he's talking about finances right before. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Well, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves can't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then it says,
For the eye, it's amazing. For the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. But if there's darkness in you, if your eye isn't single, if your perspective isn't one view, then all of a sudden, how great is that darkness? Why? Because you were created to be light. But the reality of not understanding who you are creates a big, huge vacuum. We can't afford to have darkness be where light's supposed to be. Preaching a good word, I promise, to keep you free. I've never been in a place of worry. I've lived in this place of free from worry since I've been born again. I've never had condemnation one day since I've been saved. Not one day. You can't give it to me. It's not mine. The only one that's condemned is the devil. He's going to burn forever. He's going to be chained in a lake of fire forever. He's depressed. He's angry. He's bitter. He's sad. He's worried. Constantly, and any time we're thinking like that, he's reproduced his seed right here in you. It's the truth. We look at this stuff. Listen, man, this is so scriptural. I'm going to lay it out. You ready? It's awesome. When I get up here, I mean, I preach, I'm passionate, but my heart trembles inside. Right now, it's trembling. I'm rocked inside. Why? Because I want what's best for you. I don't want to just come up here and impress you. I want to cut your heart so deep with the reality of who God's created you to be and jam that thing up into your brain so that you become renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that we walk away from a meeting, not just, wow, that felt good. We're like, but you wake up different. You respond different where your Monday morning is like, are you kidding me? Someone freaks out on you, don't have attitude anymore because it's gone because it's not yours. That's the gospel. That's powerful. It's time we take the spirit of ugly off the bride. It's awesome. There is absolutely not one person that will be trained in theology that can argue anything with what I'm sharing. Because it's all biblical. It's all word-based. Every bit of it is so sound. It's actually, by the time we're done, there'll be no way out. God seals it so tight, you're like, oh my God, what do I do? Just give up. Oh my God, what do I do? Just say yes. Yes. Oh, that was easy. The hard part is resisting. You can't afford to be scared. Ever. So Jesus is like talking about treasures in heaven and talking about the eyes, the lamp of the body. It's your single. It's your view. Why are you single? What did he save you to? What did he save you from? If he saved you from something, to something. That's amazing. Well, I'm just going to touch something real quick because I hear it in my heart. It's kind of off the subject, but it's on. So check this out. My wife, right now, we have a 16-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 2-year-old, and we'll have another baby. Okay. It's amazing. So watch this. There are people that are on the earth that believe that because their mom didn't want them when they were born, that it's a problem now in life. Because there's rejection and all that stuff. That's from hell. I'm going to put it out. It's going to be fun. We're going to rip that thing straight out. Because it doesn't matter why. If you're here, it's because God said yes. Oh, listen. All life comes from God, okay? Regardless of how you came in, all life comes from God. Your identity isn't wrapped up in how you came in. Your identity is wrapped up in Jesus' life. Watch this. Okay, so, when I was born, there were 30 million chances of me. Okay. Ready? This is good. It's okay. If we teach our kids early, they'd be okay. Don't cover their ears. Listen to me. When I was born, there were 30 million chances of me getting in that egg. 30 million. So there's 299,999,999 other chances than me. And they're all ahead of me. going up the birth canal. All of them. And I'm last. I'm lagging behind. I don't need to sprint. Listen very carefully. See, we've like made this thing twisty. I'm just going to make it real easy. Now watch this. They've got jackhammers, they've got saws, they've got tools. They're trying to get in the egg. Trying to get in, and nobody can get in. Nobody. And here I am, last. And when I get close enough, they all part like the Red Sea. Want to know why? Because I'm there. And then all of a sudden, I just go right in the egg. And I'm in there. Everybody like comes back together. Who pushed me? I didn't push you. How did he get in? What's going on? He doesn't even have a saw. And from inside the egg, there I am. Sorry, guys. I've been predestined before the foundation of the world. It was all about me, guys. Sorry. It's true. It's true about all of you. But we allow life and circumstances and the twisted comments from people with a messed up soul to determine our identity. We allow words from people to hurt us. And all of a sudden we say, well, they cursed me. Cursed. Come on, just be the blessing. I promise you freedom. I do. You can't get out of it. We want to be free. We don't want that stuff. We don't want those thinkings. The reality of it is if you're here, it's because God said yes to you way, way before your mom and dad did. Because here's the truth. My mom, my dad, they didn't plan me. I was a love child. I just happened. Kids happen. Not a lot of people plan them. I mean, they do, but then more kids happen without planning. They just happen. So why we allow those circumstances to determine who we really are? When Jesus paid such a high price, why do we sell so cheap? Listen! If the value of something is always determined by the price that's paid for it. If I were to sell you a car and tell you I wanted you to give me $50,000 for a $500 car, you would say, sorry. If I were to walk you into a house and you were looking for a piece of real estate for you and your two kids, and you walked into a house and the house you knew on the market value was a $170,000 house, but I told you I wanted $1.5 million. There's no way you would give it to me. And if the value of something is always determined by the price that's paid for it, why would we sell so cheap to an enemy that whispers that we're worthless if heaven paid such a high price to get us back? Just simple gospel truth. We've allowed psychology to take over this thing. And we've gone, and I'm not against psychologists. I've seen it. But to bring this down to the thing that's called the way that seems right to a man, because of whatever, chemical imbalance, this, that, everything. I'm not saying that that's not real, because it's real. Scientists have discovered that. It's weird. Scientists have discovered that, but they haven't discovered the love of Jesus. I'm worth it. Heaven paid a high price to get me back. Man, I've lived this way since the beginning. I've loved people because God loved me. And I look in the mirror and I like what I see. I look in the mirror and sometimes it's weird. I'm like, whoa. I'm really not kidding, I promise you. If you would see it, you would think I'm crazy. I look in the rearview mirror of my car. Not because I'm looking at what's behind me. Because rearview Christianity is illegal in the kingdom. That's a revelation, man. If he said all things passed away and all things became new, if all things became new, then why do we keep looking at things that passed away? The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to cover it. Trust me. because we won't be able to get it by nitpicking each thing. You know, you open a closet and say, this still remains, the devil has a whole list of things. But if you believe that it's finished, it really is. It's not mind over matter. It's God's heart for you. And it's not feelings. It's faith. You justify it. Not feelings. Feelings, you're crazy, man. You can feel all kinds of stuff. Do you know, since I've been in the kingdom, I've rarely ever felt God. That's awesome. Hardly ever. I know God. Listen. Not about, whoa, I feel it. If you do, that's great. But if you don't, where do you go? I'm not kidding. I'm being serious. Feeling. Wow. You got to be really careful with that one. Because sometimes we only do what we feel like doing. But in the kingdom, you did what you felt like doing before you came in. Now you live by faith. Feelings follow that. You do. But if feelings precede that, you're in trouble. If we're not careful, we'll incorporate the wisdom of the world into the wisdom of God and live by the wrong wisdom. Wisdom from the world is sensual, demonic, full of self-seeking and envy and everything evil is there. The wisdom of God is awesome. Peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of good fruit without hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
I'm not saying you're hypocrite. It's true.
It just came out loud.
Peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of good fruit without hypocrisy. God's rocking your heart. You know why? Your daddy's good. And you're finding that out right now. Awesome. Are you getting anything out of this at all? Besides her? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you guys have bass here on this? Can you turn bass up on this? Just for a second. For a minute. I'll lighten it up a bit. Bass.
Bass.
That's treble.
Bass. Birds.
Is that it? Bass. 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 Good? Break dancers here, don't you? You rap? Beatbox. Hold on. Is there anybody that... Where's the rap? Bring it! Come on, man! Come on. You got two mics? You got break dancers too? We're just lighten it up a little bit before I bring it even harder in just a couple minutes. See, I'll get you guys smiling. Just keep try again. Is there another mic? Can we use another mic? He wants to beatbox too. Can you? No pressure. Hey, there's no condemnation, bro. We're gonna rap according to the spirit, not the flesh.
Okay.
Does anybody remember when there wasn't iPhones? I do.
first cell phone was like that big.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Never stop but going. Let the Holy Spirit come on me. I'm just flowing. Living water flowing through my being. Heal me from my blindness, so now I am seeing. 2020 vision. I'm living. This is what I get. God forgive. And that's something that I can't forget. I can't miss it. I'm hitting on the target. I'm down on my knees. And the tension is the hardest. Yeah, tears flowing down. Living with the water. Praying that he prophesies over his sons and daughters. Joel 2. That's how that dude do. Obey my thirst like Sprite. Nah, twist the Mountain Dew. Here I go. I'm in it to give it all that I got. God saved me from a place that's real hot. But I'm not God. But I'm giving my all. Cause the Christ said, you're redeemed. No longer do you fall. Yeah, I got my parachute. And I'm flying from the sky. Yeah, I'm not average. I'm not like the other guy. But I know I hypnotize on the love. I'm his beloved. Now I'm sitting at the enemy, getting shoving. Put him in the oven. Fruitful. Call me cheaper by the dozen. Cause I'm feeling so fruitful. Yeah, so beautiful. Hit like a cuticle. Looking like it, but I ain't entertaining like musicals. Yeah, Jesus Christ, he's the Messiah. I live in him, represent him like a flyer. Put him on the sky. Call me the billboard. I'm here to preach Jesus Christ. I'm done with sin no more. Will I get in it? Give it to definitions. I know what I'ma do. There is no regulations. I got it now. No hesitation. Preach to the crowd with no hesitation. Living and giving and giving and missing a pivot. I'm giving and go. Live my life, but I'm giving to the people that be living and giving them all. I ain't stopping. Know what I'm doing and consuming. El Shaddai, Adonai, I should die. Be crucified on the cross. Jesus Christ, living and I'm giving. No, you ain't ever stopping. Cause the devil's so pitiful. We up in the house and I'm not gonna stop it. God save my soul and I don't need a prophet. Why do I need a chase off of these riches? Looking at my life, the devil's now in a ditch. Yeah, I got my riches and chilling up in heaven. I rose from the sediment and he's so evident. Couldn't hold the bones in the tomb, yeah, he's gone. Yeah, the only God that rose out of the tomb, he's gone. Yeah, Buddha's dead. Yeah, Allah's dead. But my God's still on the throne, done with it. I said, yeah.
Awesome. Let's just go home. That was great.
Awesome.
I want to get the CD of that so I can hear what he said. I could hear some stuff and it was good. It was awesome. Wow. It was awesome. Wow.
Holy, yeah.
Wow. You never know what you're going to get. That was awesome. Good for you, dude. Way to bring it. Whew. Jesus. All right. Now I'm going to start preaching. That was good. For real. I'm at OHOP. You guys go forever. I'm just kidding. I got 6 minutes. So go to 9 o'clock. You go past that, we'll shoot you. All right. Wow. Okay. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. So good. Jesus. He loves us so much. God. I'm so wiped out. Goodness. He loves us so much. It's ridiculous. If we would catch a glimpse of it, we would never go away. This is not, God's love is not just for once in a while. Whoa, wow, He really loves me. It is daily communion with Him. I want to talk a little about communion. Then I'm going to hit the conscience a little bit. To me, communion isn't that I got to pray for 5 hours. To me, communion is the constant awareness of who He is all the time. To me, communion comes from this. Communion comes after I've established the love of God. Communion, it's during, but true communion, true intimacy, comes out of the reality of the first commandment. Loving God with everything I am. So it's the love of God. Love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion in the Holy Spirit. But the communion in the Holy Spirit, they're all three in one. They all come at the same time. But our awareness of communion needs to be stepped up, but it can't be stepped up outside the love of God. And the one thing that interferes with the love of God is condemnation. You can't be condemned and live in the love of God. If God so loved the world that He gave His Son, so that whoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life doesn't start the day before in heaven. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, which is John 17, that this is eternal life, that they might know You, the only true God. So what is eternal life? Knowing God. And Jesus Christ, the one that You have sent. And that only comes through communion with the Holy Spirit, revealing His Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus and teach us all the things that Jesus said, things present, things to come. He never teaches us about the past. Watch this. Romans 8. I am persuaded. Neither angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor angels, nor demons. Right? Nor life, nor death. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other thing that is created can separate me from receiving the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. The problem is that your past isn't on that list. I'm persuaded, angels, principalities, power, right? Life, death, things present, things to come, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me. The problem is that my past can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus because I don't believe it's finished. I think it's to be continued. Help yourself. I promise you, listen to this very carefully. In Philippians 3, power, Paul said this. He said, I haven't accounted but for one thing. Forgetting what lies behind. Why? Because God forgot. He forgives our sins as far as the east is to the west. He removes our transgressions as far as the east is to the west. If you go east in the world, it's a circle you never hit west. Okay. If you're frozen into a sea of forgetfulness, why would it be called that? Why wouldn't it be called the sea of remembrance? God says in the new covenant that their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. This is a powerful revelation that I believe that we need to get back to and never get out of. I have lived in this place from the beginning. Now, I shared my testimony, a little bit of it. The reality of it is I had 22 years of tragedy. That if I didn't believe the gospel, I would never get the things present because I'd always be caught up in things behind. I'd always be looking in the rearview mirror wondering when it's going to end. It never ends because Jesus said, my sheep hear and obey my voice, and the strangers they won't follow. The stranger's voice always talks about the things that you wish you never did. But it's a command from God to not follow it.
Okay.
If God says, my sheep hear and obey my voice, and a stranger's they might not follow, a stranger's they could, they shouldn't follow, a stranger's they shouldn't listen to, I can't believe my people are listening to that. That's not what he said. He says, a stranger's they will not. What's the will of God? To will not follow that one. It's amazing. It's a revelation. It's called righteousness. Righteousness means that I have right standing with my Father. See, there's the law. You've got the law. You've got 613 laws and 10 commandments. In order for you to have right standing with God, you have to obey everyone perfectly, never miss one, because if you miss one, you transgress them all. So Jesus came, lived, and walked perfect as a man, not as God, did it as a man. He had to do it as a man because the old covenant was established between God and between man. Man had to fulfill the covenant in order to establish a new one. And if we have a new one, it's because the old one was fulfilled. If the old one was fulfilled and Jesus became a man, humbled himself as a bondservant, was tempted at all points. If Jesus was tempted at all points, that scripture alone validates that he did it as a man, because God cannot be tempted. So that means that Jesus did it as a man, not as God. If he did it as God, that'd be great, but that's not fulfilling the covenant. Fulfilling the covenant, he had to fulfill man's end. God already had his end because he's holy. So God hears my standard, 613 of them in 10. If you're careful and diligent to obey these, Deuteronomy 6:25, and never go to the left or to the right, it will be given to you righteousness. James 2:10 says, but if you miss one, you miss them all. That means that if you're perfect for 30 years and did everything, but you missed one, your whole 30 years is a wash. It's no wonder they were frustrated and always wanted to do the things that they knew to do but didn't, and always willed to do it but couldn't, because it was sin in them that was doing it. But Jesus paid a price to crush the reality of sin in us so that we could live with a sin-free conscience, being washed by blood, becoming son conscience instead of sin conscience. I'm not just popping off. This is true. I promise you. It's so biblically sound, it's amazing. It'll make your heart burn. Right now, whose heart's burning? Right now. Just from that little bit of truth, there's a lot, but that's awesome. What if you were free from that thing? And all of a sudden you just live by this, live by the reality of a conscience that was clean, washed by blood. Man, come on, it's awesome. So Jesus lives and walks for 30 years and never misses it, man. He's perfect. Persecuted and beat up and whooped and ripped apart. He did all that because he loved you. Because you were the joy set before him. The cross didn't pursue him. He pursued it because you were before him. He saw your face and said, I want that one. See, Jesus could have had the mansion on the hill. He could have had anything. But he said, no, I want that one. Dude, I was twisted and whacked and messed up. Cursed God. Cursed Christians. Hated Christians. And Jesus said, I want that one. And all of a sudden, he washed me clean and killed me so that I could live. So why would we hold on to me? Because we'll never be able to live. Because you'll always be wondering when your breakthrough is going to come. When Jesus already broke through so that you could live in breakthrough. Come on, man. It's just the gospel. It's amazing. It's truth. Truth. Know the truth. That's what sets you free. Doing the miracles doesn't set you free. Knowing the truth sets you free. Ministry doesn't set you free. The truth sets you free. The reality of truth empowering this thing to live the reason it was created. You know that Peter talks about this. He's like, you know, don't think it's weird that you face these fiery trials, if need be, for the testing of your faith. Don't think it's weird. Yet, when we face it, we think it's weird. But it's actually to strengthen your faith. Trials only come to strengthen who you are in God. God doesn't send them. He just wants you to see who you are in the midst of it. So he can sit there on the throne, look at his kids that are going through trial. This is how I picture my dad. I go through something and my dad looks at me and he goes, and I do it and he goes, Adam. Oh, dude, listen, that's like amazing. So good. Solid. So in Peter, it goes through this and it talks about trials and this and that. Then it says, you know what? After you go through all this, you'll receive the ending of your faith. You know what he says? Amazing. The salvation of your soul. You have three parts. Body, soul, spirit. Your mind, will, and emotions. You know that the finishing of your faith is the salvation of your mind, will, and emotions. We don't think that way. We think it's when we get to heaven. No. It's about the reality of this being getting set free. Your soul being set free. So renewed in the spirit of your mind that when stuff comes, it just strengthens you. The devil takes a risk every time he touches you. See, if you see this thing clearly, when he touches you, he takes a risk. If you respond in God, he's finished. But he's so used to people not seeing who they are that he touches people and they're touching feeling. What if we woke up and said, go ahead, squeeze. When you squeeze an orange, what kind of juice do you get? If you squeeze an apple, what kind of juice do you get? If I squeezed an orange into a cup and you drank it and it was apple juice, what would you think? You'd be freaked out. Then why isn't it strange that when a Christian gets squeezed, everything but Jesus comes? I'm not being mean. What if the enemy found out that every time he squeezed you, you got Jesus all over you? He'd be careful who he drinks from. Let that one wreck you. It's awesome. I promise you, this is awesome, man. I'm not playing game. We're having fun, but it's free. I'm so used to touching people and never responding to it. What if it touched you and squeezed you? When you were in the wilderness that you say you're in, you came out like Jesus did. The Holy Ghost with power. That's the only wilderness that's legal to be in. There's two wildernesses. One, the Israelites were in for a long time. They complained. They murmured and they stayed in there for a long time. Jesus was in the same one. They went in selfish. He went in selfless. Awesome. Because we become Jesus. So are you. Not just in all power and authority. But that chapter's talking about as he is love, so are we in this world. Love is power. God gives the spirit of power to come from him. I am him. I'm washed off. It doesn't make any sense. He'll link it with that spirit. Alright. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, my heart's not burning. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 9. I'm just going to share some stuff and tie to the end here. And we're going to pray. Alright? Listen. Depression. Condemnation. Sleeping disorders. Bipolar. Mental disorder. All that stuff. We're going to go after it. I mean, we'll pray for all kinds of stuff. Depression, it's not yours. I don't care what your diagnosis is, Jesus is bigger. I've watched bipolar leave people. Wow. Okay. Ready? Read, pause, tie this in. Listen. When Jesus said it was finished, he meant what he said.
He never said anything unless the Father told him to say it. So if Jesus said it's finished, the Father said it. The way to God through works was finished. The handwriting against you was finished. Don't get caught up in, well, I've been a Christian for 10 years. Jesus asked of it. I understand. Every day is mercy. You see the blood of Jesus and the revelation of who you're called to be. All of a sudden, righteousness gets strengthened inside of you, and your senses become trained to discern between both good and evil. And the things that used to be okay for you will shake your spirit now, and there's no way you can step in. And all of a sudden, your strength in God rises. And He will sustain you, and He will allow you to stand up under anything that's trying to call you. It says, no temptation seized you, except that which is common to you. But when you're tempted, God will allow you. He will show you a way out, standing up. And I promise you, the blood of Jesus is the way out. Okay. It says this. Talking about Old Covenant. New Covenant. I'm going to read. It says, indeed, after the first covenant, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread. All of it was symbolic of Jesus and prophetic of Jesus and the resurrection. Probably aware of that. If not, it is. Which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. It says, now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle to perform the service. But into the second part, the high priest went once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and the people's sins committed in Egypt. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. It was symbolic for the present time, in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him perform the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified for purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So it talks about this, and in verse 11, actually in verse 9, it says, it was symbolic for the present time, which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience. This is amazing, because the high priest that went behind the veil in the Holy of Holies and offered blood, when he left there, he left condemned. His conscience was condemned. Condemnation, you weren't able to be free from it. Moses was given the ministry of condemnation that was engraved on stones, but Jesus was given, we've been given the ministry of righteousness. If the ministry engraved on stones had glory, the ministry of righteousness has much more glory. Second Corinthians 3, verse 17, says, the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Right? Are being transformed into the original image. Being transformed into His image. Moving from glory to glory. They're talking about the same thing. The veil was something that Moses was given when he went up on the mountain and he had to wear a veil because he had received the ministry from God, the ministry of condemnation engraved on stones, and he spent time in the presence of God, and he wore a veil on his face, not just to stop people from seeing it, but to stop people from seeing it fade away. And we are supposed to shine with the glory of God without a veil on our face, because we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind,
because of the reality of God that wrote on tablets of stone, now writes on tablets of flesh. And when we come into a relationship with Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, what's dimly lit comes to the surface when grace is breathed on. It empowers us to walk out what truth calls us to. When you get born again and you give your life to God, you get a brand new heart, and your heart is already positioned to know Him. Jeremiah 24 says, in that day I'll give them a new heart, a heart to know me. In the Word it says, I won't write on tablets of stone, but of tablets of flesh. So the heart that God gave you to know Him already comes completely filled with the Word of God when you get born again. Relationship and intimacy with Holy Spirit illuminates what's dimly lit so that your mind can be renewed and you can shine on the outside because of the transformation of your mind that comes through agency of Holy Spirit breathing upon what's in you. The love of God's revealed in this. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. So when you were messed up, Christ died for you. If when you were an enemy, He died for you and gave you that, how much more now would He freely give you all things? So when we see the reason why we're created to manifest Him. God wouldn't create you to manifest Him if He didn't give you the ability to do so. But He wants us to manifest Him out of the place of a clean conscience, with a pure heart, which is a clean conscience, and clean hands, so that we can ascend His hill all day, every day. So that we can have boldness to approach the throne of grace in time of need. And I want to ask you, when's the last time you didn't need Jesus? So if you constantly need Him, why would you leave the throne room? Well, I can't see it. I understand. We don't walk by sight. We live by faith. God tore the veil when Jesus said it was finished. This is amazing. Like He said it was finished. The veil tore. Jesus goes, and I believe that I found in Scripture, I believe in my heart, that He went to hell to pay for the sin of mankind. It says this. It says that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we might become something. So it's not just attaining something, it's becoming something. And if we've become something, it's amazing. If He who knew no sin became sin so that I might become the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. If it's that important, it's that valuable, and God says, seek it first before you seek anything else. Don't worry, 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 but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all of these things. What things? All these things that I could have worried about will be added to me. Why? Because the kingdom comes fully equipped to satisfy itself. Righteousness is amazing. It's my right standing I have with my Father. So in the Old Testament, there was no way for them to have right standing because they had to try to do it in their own strength. And God was showing them that in your weakness, He's strong. God didn't want it that way. They chose Moses because they were afraid. They were afraid in the wrong way. The fear of God is a beautiful thing, but being scared of God is not the fear of God. When they came to the mountain and saw that, they were like, you do it, we'll listen. They never listened. We'll listen to you, you do it. They never listened. God wanted family. So Jesus walks this thing out 30 years. He's 30 years old. He's never sinned. He's never missed it. He's walked perfect. He's born of the Virgin Mary as a man, not as God. Impregnated Mary by God, but He grew up as a man. He had to. He had to fulfill our end. So He walks perfect. 30 years old, He comes down to the River Jordan. There's this rowdy wild man down there. Probably had read. Did you see the movie? The Bible, John the Baptist, he had dreads. That was cool, right? He really did. I think he probably was rough with it.
Repent, you brood of vipers.
So he's down there baptizing people. John the Baptist, Jesus comes down. John's baptizing people unto repentance. Jesus comes down there and He looks at him and He goes, I need you to baptize me. And John goes, you're coming to me and I need you to baptize me. Are you kidding? That's not what he said, but he said, I need you to baptize me. Jesus said, no, listen, it's necessary. Why did he say it's necessary? It's crazy. John the Baptist was on the earth to prepare the way of the Lord. That's his only purpose. That's the only reason why he's here. His whole life has been groomed for this very day. And he's down there at the river and Jesus comes down and says, I need you to baptize me. Jesus was 30 years of age. amazing because in Jewish culture, at 30, you inherit everything that your father has. So at 30, when Jesus was going down there to the river, if he got what his father had, it's amazing. So he comes down to the river. John's like, Jesus said, no, it's necessary. Why? So that righteousness might be fulfilled. The only way righteousness could be attained in the old covenant is if you walked it out perfectly and never missed it. Ever. So he walks out 613 laws, 10 commandments. Never misses it. Never misses a beat. Not once. He gets baptized. John goes, okay. Baptizes Jesus. He went down in the river. And when he came back up, the heavens opened legally because righteousness opened the heavens and they never closed. It's amazing. It's in Deuteronomy 28. I will open the heavens and cause it to rain. It's the blessings of obedience. Jesus was obedient. So all those blessings, head and not the tail, blessed going in, blessed going out, above and not beneath. Enemies come at you one, flee from you seven. It's in there. I believe Matthew 6:33 is all these things will be added to you is the blessings of obedience. I believe that. So Jesus gets baptized. And it's amazing. God said, this is my son. In whom I'm well pleased. Jesus, they hear the voice. Jesus, this voice comes. This is my son. The dove came. He went out in the wilderness. Something came out. Crazy. Awesome. So Jesus lives, and for 3 years, 3.5 years or so, the miraculous was nuts. Freaky, crazy, awesome. He had righteousness. He gave the disciples authority. It amazes me because they weren't even born again. They couldn't have been. He's like, listen to that. They're like, should we call down fire and kill him? You don't know what spirit you're of. Who's the greatest? You want to be great? Please. But man, listen. They're like, wow. People always say, man, I can really relate to Peter. And I tell them, which one? It's a good word. Are you relating to the Peter that wasn't saved? Because that one denied Jesus. But when the Holy Ghost came, everything changed. Think about that one. That's amazing. Peter got redeemed. Everything changed. That's the one that came up in front of the very people he denied in front of and said, you judge your eyes. I'm expecting this of God. It's you. I'm not doing that one. That's the one who's crucified upside down. Something happens in the Holy Ghost. So Jesus gets on that cross. Love the passion. He like crawled through it. He pulled his arm out and nailed it to that tree. He did it because love did it. People say, well, he could have came down you along. He came to die so that you could live. God. Goes to hell for 3 days, pays the price, comes out of the grave, just to be there, to lose the price. Jesus, on that third day, Mary, they come out, they anoint the body, stones roll away, and she runs back to the temple. Got one. She says, they took the Lord. Peter and John run to the tomb. John runs ahead. Peter gets there after John. Peter runs right in. John wasn't going in, but Peter. He goes in. He's gone. He says, "Dear, dear, dear." Mary, weak, pissed, awesome. Mary is weak. Angel. He's not here. She turns around, she sees somebody she supposes is her brother. She looks at him and says, where did you put him? I don't believe he was hidden by the trees. I believe he looked like something different than we. I believe he represented what we're supposed to look like. Something different than we. So he says, Mary. She goes, Rabboni, Master. This is what he says. Don't come. I haven't yet ascended to you. Don't hold me. I have something I have to do. Don't hold me here. I have something that I have to do. Go and tell the disciples. Listen very carefully here. Go and tell the disciples that I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God, and to your God. For Jesus ascended. He ascended to the Father. But when he did that, and he applied blood to the mercy seat in heaven, that blood never coagulates. It's constantly on the mercy seat crying out mercy for you. He told Mary, don't cling to me. I have something I have to do. See, here's the reality of that. Matthew 23:9 says, call no one on earth your father, for you have one father. That doesn't mean don't honor your father. That means you have one father. We have to be very careful not to elevate the need for mentors and spiritual fathers above the reality of God being our Father. Because a true spiritual father will point you to God being your Father so that you're not an orphan, because a spiritual father can't make you not an orphan. I am totally for spiritual fathers, but if we don't know God as our Father, we're still an orphan. And you'll need a spiritual father to be around you in order to not feel like an orphan. It's not about feelings, it's about knowing God as your Father. Here's what it means. That means that the second that you say yes to Jesus, God becomes your Father, and your identity changes. And the reality of who you were created by shifts and changes. To be born again means to be fathered from above. That means that the second you say yes to God, you have a brand new dad. And he's best in the whole world. Brand new dad. Brand new dad. Condemnation doesn't exist in the place that I'm talking about. Condemnation only exists in the place of not believing him. Condemnation comes from the law. It was the ministry of condemnation. Condemnation comes from listening to the liar. See, the devil's condemned, so he wants you to think just like him. So condemnation isn't in Christ. So in order to not walk according to the flesh, we have to understand what Jesus paid the price for. So when the foundation of righteousness is laid and that's what you live by, you never have to do anything to prove who you are. You just live in the understanding that Jesus paid a price to have you become righteousness, and all of a sudden you're dealing with the Bible. So the reality of the gospel says that you're forgiven. Says that he's washed you clean, cleansed you by blood, and he's given you a clean conscience. So what I do when the enemy whispers to me is I never rebuke him and tell him to get behind me. When he talks to me, I thank God for who I really am. The devil says you're worthless. I say, thank you, Father. I'm so worthless. You're amazing. He says you shouldn't have done that 5 years ago. I say, Father, thank you. I'm doing that. You're amazing, God. Thank you. That's the stranger's word. I'm 100% opposite. You're awesome. The gospel sets you free from you, so that you can be free from others. We're going to pray. Okay? First things first. I don't think she's still here. She left. Okay. A lady was at a place today, and she had to do some camera stuff, so she was putting makeup on me today. I know, it's not funny, but it's true. So I'm sitting there, and I had a word about her neck, and she said, yeah. So I started praying for her neck. She got me whole. We prayed 2 times. And she got overwhelmed with her heart. And I walked into the other room and
back and shoot my chest pain. And I said, sure. I said, you said you were a Christian. You've never given yourself to God. You've been for free. You accept me. Let's read that warning. She gave a last thought of God. Went down. And met her right there. The first thing she said, you've never given yourself to Him and asked Him to possess you. Don't pray for that first. I believe I'm here in the name of the Father. So that's what you're going to do. Nah. So if you've never given yourself, if you've never given yourself to Him, in other words, asked Him to possess you, I want you to come up here. And I know you're here. You should come. You've never given yourself to Him. I promise you this. You don't have to come. You won't get out. I'm not here. He will dominate you. Because He loves you. So if you're here and you've never given yourself to Jesus, I'm not telling you to begin again. Or another altar call. I'm telling you. If you don't know Him as your Father, and you've never given yourself to Him, you know Him as your Father, you ask Him to possess you. I'd like you to come up. There are meetings that I do that I'm like, I get permission from the Holy Spirit to call people out. I don't want to do that. Listen, I need you to be bold. If that's you, I need you up here. Never given yourself to Him, I promise your life will never be the same. Please come up here right now. Awesome. Proud of you. You got a friend here with you? And, huh? Listen, if you've never given yourself to Him, I'm telling you that now you need to make this thing. I'm telling you, I'm going to pray for you, and what I share tonight is going to be on your life. Okay? So that would be ridiculous for you to hold back. Okay? I need you to come up. Please don't be ashamed. You've never fully given yourself to God and said, possess me, and given your life to Him. You've incorporated Jesus in, but you haven't surrendered. I need you up here. Please don't be embarrassed. That would be silly to be embarrassed. Just come and give yourself to the King. He loves you. He's not mad. Amen. Courage. Stop chickening out. Get up here and do this. Man up. Man up. Don't be embarrassed. Dude, this is the best thing ever. Ever. Don't be embarrassed. This is awesome. Give yourself to Him. It's the most important thing you can ever do. Father, I thank You for courage. Listen, I know there's probably 9 more people that need to come up here. I need you to just obey Your heart. Listen, Your heart will beat out of your chest. I don't care if you've claimed to be a Christian all your life. I was in a Methodist church 2 weeks ago. And they're Christians all their life. 3/4 of the church came up and gave themselves. Then the Holy Spirit came. I need you to obey Your heart on this. Please obey Your heart. God, I thank You for courage in Jesus' name. Courage, God, in Jesus' name. Courage, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus, God. Courage. Obey Your heart. Just obey Your heart, please. Man, a couple of you are here.
and you're like kind of mad at God because you think he took something from you, didn't allow you to do something, didn't allow you to do your career. You think he took you out. One of these for sports is a sports injury. I believe it was something actually having to do with the knee. And it was a sports injury, and it actually like disabled you from being able to do it. And you believe that was God, and you haven't given yourself to him because of that. And I believe another person has something about music that you weren't being able to pursue your career in music. That got shut down. You had to do something else. And you think it's God that stopped you. It wasn't him. He loves you. He's to empower you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. I was in Australia just a little while ago at some church, and I called out for the reality of people giving themselves to God, and like 15 kids under the age of 9 came up. It was ridiculous. I just started crying. I was blown away. They were crying and shaking, and Jesus was awesome. And they weren't inspired by their family. They just came up. It was crazy. This isn't a shame thing, okay? This is a I won't be free thing. Okay? It's not shame. Anybody else who will be courageous? That's you. I'm not trying to pull your feet or anything. If this is you, I need you just to honor this. Just be obedient. Honor your heart. God, thank you. I need someone to come pray for you. Please. Go here. I'm so proud of you guys. Oh, I'm serious. Jesus. Love you. Anybody else? God, I thank you. This is the most important thing you could ever do. Just give yourself this loving Father. God, thank you. Yeah. Come on, man. Awesome, man. Welcome home. Yeah. He said, what if you messed up? You want something? Come on, man. That's awesome. That's absence of condemnation. That's what condemnation has to exit. And the reality of the blood of Jesus hits the soul. So if you're in that category and you feel like you've messed up too much, come home right now, please. Come home right now. 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 Just come home right now. Come on, there's more. I need you to come home right now. Come home. Just come home. Just come home. I was just reading about David, where all these guys came that were broken and contrite hearts, just in debt, hurting, just twisted and all that stuff. David's like, come on. And they made the most amazing warriors. David's mighty men. Good. Come on. Listen, sometimes shame keeps you in the seats. I don't want anybody else to know I messed up. Get up here. Stop it. Stop it. That's you. I need you up here. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. This is going to be a condemnation-free zone for real. For real. Oh, oh my. Jesus. Let's all kneel down. You guys good with that? I'm going to kneel with you. I want to tell you guys that I am so proud of you. And I love you so much. Your life is about to radically get changed. The Holy Ghost is coming. He's already here. But it's going to intensify. Some of you are going to weep like crazy. It's going to be awesome. It's not a shame weep. It's an amazing grace weep. It's awesome. Father, I thank you for the commitment of everyone. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you. Wash them clean, God, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come right now. Jesus, we just welcome you. God, we say forgive us and wash us clean. We repent, God, and we say yes to you. We say yes to you, God. Yes to you, God. Come, Holy Spirit, more. Jesus' name, more. More. Jesus, more. 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 More, God. More, God. My friend, that's a baptism of fire. That's a beautiful thing. You will never be the same. More, Holy Spirit, come right now. Jesus, come right now. More. More. More, God. More, God. More. More, God. More. More, God. Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. We say yes to you, God. We say yes to you, God. Come on, God, more. Would you dare to say more, Lord? More, Lord. More, Lord. Freedom. Freedom. More, Lord. More. More, God. More, God. More, God. Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. We say more. Forgiven. Forgiven. Freedom. Forgiven. Freedom. Come, Holy Spirit. We say yes to you, God. Say yes to you, God. Make our yes be so amazingly strong. Jesus, we say yes. More, God. Lord, I thank you. God, we just say more. Holy Spirit, come. We say more. All of you that are free, I want you up here around somebody to pray for somebody right now. Just find somebody to pray. Just pray. Holy Spirit, come. We say more. More, God. This is awesome. Awesome. Jesus, we say more. Come on, guys. Let's pray. Jesus' name. Jesus, we say yes to you. More, God. Jesus, we say yes to you. More, God. More, God. More, God. More, God. It's a body of Christ. This is what we're created to be. Free. Jesus, we say yes to you. Father, I thank you for a baptism of fire right now, God. Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, more. More, God. Let your fire come. Let your fire come. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we say yes to you. We say yes to you, God.